Penguin Random House Audio presents Robert B. Parker's The Bridge by Robert Knott. Read for you by Rex Lynn. Prologue. The dense mass of stars was unusually ominous and threatening, as if the whole tangle of constellations was up to no damn good. The wide night sky pushed down hard on the four wary horsemen, appraising them like a powerful and intolerant observer. With their tilted brims and slouching shoulders, the mounted men rode single file and without word as their horses carried them toward their destination. They were all fairly young. One was a hefty fellow with a large gut. The second was gangly with a narrow face and shoulders. The third was also skinny but was dark-skinned, maybe a half-breed, and the fourth was small and wiry. Hard to know what the hell these night riders were thinking, what was going on in their heads. They would have had to feel the overhead pressure, the challenging and unforgiving weight. The stars loomed close enough to reach out and touch, a twisted, twinkling expanse. The four horsemen rode slowly, deliberately up the eastern rim of the Rio Blanco River. The only sound was the occasional clink of a bit, the footfalls of their horses, and the soft rumble of the Whitewater River in the canyon far below. The dropping moon provided enough light for them to see their dogged and hell-bent way, and just ahead, where he was supposed to be, they saw the big man waiting for them. They had met him only once before. They knew from the brief encounter he was not someone to cross, not ever. He was different, above average in every respect. He could smile and show his nice white teeth, but he was menacing and ill-tempered to his very core. There was something even more dangerous about him. It was as if he were from another place in time. One of the riders told the others that the big son of a bitch reminded him of what the warrior Achilles might have been like. He was handsome and raw-boned. He had a warrior swagger to him as if he had single-handedly just wiped out an army and was looking forward to his next victim. His movements were swift and specific. He had thick, broad shoulders, and his hands and forearms were sinewy with muscle. His neck was wide and corded. He had a full head of shiny, coarse hair, and his eyes were deep-set and dark blue. The night riders were also fearful of the two brothers who would accompany them later. But they were in this, all of them. They would not turn back, and they could not turn back. Not now, not tonight. They were all committed to what they rode out on this night to do. The big Achilles man got to his feet in the buckboard. He stood looking at them as they neared and then jumped down from the wagon as they came to a stop. "You're late," he said. He threw back a canvas uncovering the wagon's freight. "What about the telegraph lines?" he asked before they could defend their belated arrival. "They're cut," the dark-skinned man said as he dismounted. "You see anybody?" "We did not," the hefty man said. "Anybody see you?" "No, nobody." "You sure?" "We are," the hefty man replied. "All right," he said. "Let's get a move on it." "How far from here?" the small, wiry man said. "Quarter mile," he said. "From here we go in on foot. Each one hauls a load." "Where are we going to meet them?" the hefty man said. "Just carry your load and follow me," he said. "Got 1 hour before sunup." The riders didn't waste any time. They tied their horses under a stand of small sycamores and went about the task at hand. One by one, each of the men removed the supplies from the buckboard and followed the big warrior man, the Achilles man. They walked along a narrow deer path through thickets high above the river. As they neared their destination, they could hear someone up ahead of them. "Far enough," a man's voice said. The voice was raspy with a distinct southern drawl. They knew it was one of the brothers, and then they saw them both. The two men stepped out from a cluster of briars near a tree-covered wash that's folded off down toward the river some 200 feet below. The brothers were stout men with full, bristly beards and tangled, unruly hair. Two of the riders had known the brothers in earlier days and were not any more comfortable with them than they were with the warrior man. Both brothers were intelligent men, but they were mercurial and quick-tempered. They presented themselves as polite and forthright, but a strange, disconnected quality lurked within. They both were quiet, and though their eyes were kind, there was a constant callous and mistrusting element about their demeanor. "Don't ever turn your back on them," the dark-skinned man said to the others. This night, however, what these men were focused on was a brother's shrewd scheme. They recruited the warrior man and the four riders, and if everything went as planned, they all would make a lot of money, more money than any of them would have made in a lifetime. Before tonight, they had done a mock run of the plan. Each man knew his job. When the taller brother said, "Let's go," they moved out. It did not take long for them to plant the dynamite. One of the men, the heavyset man, knew everything about how and where it should be placed. He had been the one who showed the others what to do. His extensive knowledge of explosives was the very reason for his recruitment in the first place. Daybreak was upon them, and the first rays of sun began to appear as the heavyset man instructed the younger brother how to terminate the last connection. "I remember," the younger brother said. The heavyset man nodded. He started off walking toward the trail that led back to the buckboard. The others were ahead of him, and he followed them as he unspooled the wire. After the younger brother made the final connection and was headed back toward the deer path, he came face to face with Percy O'Malley.
"Hey," Percy said. "Good morning."
The brother was startled to see the old man.
"Morning, Percy,"
the brother said.
"What are you doing out so early?"
Percy said. The brother looked around the old man to see if there was anyone behind him.
"I'll show you,"
the brother said as he walked to the edge. The old man followed him. The brother pointed to the river 200 feet below.
"Look,"
the brother said. When Percy leaned over to look, the brother pulled his long knife from its sheath, cupped his hand around the old man's mouth, and slit his throat. He shoved the man off the side and watched as his body tumbled into the river. If he had stopped to look, he would have seen the body swept up by the current, leaving a murky red trail dispatched behind it. By the time he made it back to where the other men were, the heavyset man had the wires connected on the terminals of the detonator. They had a good vantage point from their location.
"Who wants to do the honors?"
the heavyset man said.
"Me,"
the warrior man said without hesitation. He got down on his knees and the others closed in behind him.
"On three,"
the warrior man said.
"One, two."
He lowered the plunger handle on the detonator, and the men watched the 300-foot iron bridge that crossed over the Rio Blanco River explode in a monstrous blast, earthquaking and sulfurous as if it came from deep down in hell, delivered by the evil red devil himself. Chapter 1
"Weather?"
"Is," Virgil said.
"Don't look good," I said.
"No," Virgil said.
"It don't."
Virgil and I were watching a faraway line of darkness coming towards us from the north.
"Got this place shingled just in time," I said.
Virgil glanced up, looking at the underside of the porch overhang we were sitting under.
"Know soon enough if we got any leaks," I said.
"Expect we will."
"This will be the first sign of weather since we've been back here in Appaloosa," I said.
"It is," Virgil said, looking back to the clouds.
"Ain't it?"
"Been warm and dry," I said.
"Hot even."
"Has," Virgil said. Virgil put the heels of his boots on the porch rail and tipped his chair back a little. We sat quiet for a long moment as we watched the dark weather moving slowly in our direction.
"What is it?"
Virgil said, tilting his head a little.
"Where are we, Everett?"
"November, Virgil. Second day of." Virgil shook his head a little.
"What the hell happened to October?"
You had those two German carpenters you hired working my backside off.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?